drive me down to that meeting. I'm 78, I can drive, but I get sleepy and tired, and I've got old arthritis and bursitis and all them itis boys, and it's tough. But anyway, I told my wife, I said, I like Brother Roger. I said, old-fashioned. And that's the only reason I'm here, because you're here, Brother Roger. I wouldn't come. Terry Toes, I just kind of limit my meetings. And I've been places where people would have you just to have a meeting. But I want to go where somebody wants the real revival, wants the real thing. I hope he gets out of the banks this week. I'd like to see him get out of the banks. I was praying this afternoon about what to preach. Now, I'm 78. I've got 140 sermon outline books, 25 sermons. So I've got a lot of sermons. But it's not how many sermons, which sermon, but the message that we need tonight. And I'm telling you, as mean as your preacher is, y'all need a little grace, don't you? I'm going to try to put a little salve in tonight, all right? But Roger, Brother Roger, I appreciate you letting me come. And boy, a great heritage. I've heard you told me about preachers y'all have had here, and I feel insecure, and I want to be a real blessing to you. I don't need to have a place to preach, but I'm glad I'm here tonight. And so you pray for my wife. She's at home. And I was telling her the other day, I said, you ought to thank the Lord for the grace of God. I said, God has elevated women. Now listen, women, are you listening to me real close? God has elevated women. You ought to be glad that you weren't in the Old Testament days. You know, they had the tabernacle, and the women, the only place they could go was the court of the women's court. They couldn't go to the brazen altar. They couldn't see the seven golden candlesticks. They couldn't, the different places. They surely wouldn't go behind the veil, and they couldn't go to the table of showbread. The only place they could go in that tabernacle was the court of the women. But you know, in the New Testament, the Virgin Mary carried the tabernacle. Did y'all get that? She carried the tabernacle. Whoa, what a privilege God has given women today. And I've got a good wife. Boy, she's a gracious wife. And you pray for her, she's got AFib. That thing will just take off 125, 50 beats a minute, and then drop down to about 40, 50. And just feel like somebody pulled a plug out from under her. So you pray for her. And we're getting old. I'm 78, and but we've been married this coming July the 3rd. 60 years. Amen. 60 years. You say, how do you stay together 60 years? A man has to decide if he's going to be right or happy. I'm never right, so I decide to be happy. But we've had these glory, and we got 4 children, 8 grandchildren, and 12 great grandchildren. And boy, them great grandchildren, my wife sees them come, they just smile. I can take about 2 hours. That's all I can have. I know why you have kids when you're young. I can't handle kids. But I tell you, happy time, I enjoy it. But you know what the happiest time is? Seeing those taillights going down the driveway. Amen. But anyway, it's good to be here tonight. And I'm praying. I said, God, I need, you know what I told the Lord? I said, Lord, I'd like to get in one more meeting where the glory of God is so real. And I mean, just give us, I said, Lord, I'd like to magnify you tonight. And I'd like to preach to Welcome Baptist Church and all the visitors the greatness of Almighty God.
Amen.
God's a great God. And what is man that thou art mindful of him? I mean, we're nothing, but God came to where we were, took our place, so we would be saved by the grace of God. And I want you to turn into the book of Isaiah tonight. Isaiah has 66 chapters. The Bible has 66 books. In the 22nd chapter of Isaiah, it talks about the new heavens and the earth. The 22nd book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, talks about the new heaven and the new earth. You say, well, what's so great about that? Isaiah's got a verse 23 and a verse 24. But there's not a chapter 23 and chapter 24 of Revelation. That tells what we're going to do after the new heavens and the new earth. You said, what are we going to do? I'm not going to tell you. But I'm telling you, the future's great. God's great. Now you pray for me. I'm getting old. I got 7 B's. Baldness, bifocals, ridges, bulges, bunions, batteries, and look for a bedpan. Amen. I'm telling you. But anyway, I'm old, man. I'm old. But I'm glad that you're here tonight. So you pray for this old man that God get it. Listen, if God doesn't help me, I can't get it done. If God does not help me, I cannot get it done. Isaiah 46, let's read there. Let's all stand in reverence to the King James Bible, the Bible that God uses. Isaiah chapter 46. Did you know, and I've done this, but for your own private study, you ought to go and take every book of the Bible and compare it to the first chapter of Isaiah. Second book of the Bible, second chapter of Isaiah. You go through that, you can write a whole book on the 66 chapters of Isaiah compared to the 66 books of the Bible. And about halfway down, you'll hear somebody, and you look around, it's you. I mean, God's a great God, isn't he? Now, I hope shouting don't bother you, because I'm planning on shouting tonight. I'm going to shout on purpose. God's great, isn't he? He's a great God. Isaiah 46, and listen, if you see my hand shaking, I don't have palsy. I'm going to have to have surgery on my neck. And I took Tramadol this morning. And I call it Tramadol. It makes me shake. But, you know, God's got to do something to relieve some pain. Pray for me. Isaiah 46, verse 5. To whom will ye liken me and make me equal and compare me that ye may be like? They lavish gold out of the bag and weigh silver in the balance and hire a goldsmith and he maketh it a god. They fall down, yea, they worship. They bear him upon the shoulder. They carry him and set him the place and he standeth from his place shall he not remove. Yea, one shall cry unto him, yet can he not answer nor save him out of his trouble. Remember this and show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind, O you transgressors. Remember the former things of old. And here's my message. For I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there's none like me. Only God could do this, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Let's bow our heads in a moment of prayer. Dear Lord, as we come tonight, I don't want to take up time. Lord, I don't want to waste this time. I want to, Lord, be anointed with fresh and new, with fresh oil tonight. Help me to preach above my ability tonight. And I know that without you, I can do nothing. Lord, I come tonight just to brag on you and talk about the greatness of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, if I had a title, you may be seated. If I had a title, I'd call it The Greatness of God. How great is God? How great is God? You know, we're living a day when there's suicides on every hand. A lot of people are hopeless. And I'm glad we got a good president, but our hope's not in a president, I promise. And he's doing a good job. I wish the preacher hadn't voted for Biden last time, but that's beside the point. But I want to tell you something. I believe that we need to see again the greatness of Almighty God. Boy, he's a great God. He's not one that you have to carry. They said they made a God that had to carry. I don't want a God that I have to carry. I want one that'll carry me. Amen and amen. I'll do a Sammy Allen around there. Amen. But anyway, somebody said that no people has ever risen above their thoughts of God. I mean, somebody said that. Do you know the mightiest and weightiest word in the world is God? He's holy. The greatest problem man has is that there is a God. Now you're going to have to face him and deal with him somewhere down the road. I'm glad he's real. I'm glad he's holy. And, I read where the heathen, they cover their nakedness with a loincloth and they cannibalize one another. Because they bowed down to a god carved out of wood. They said to run around half naked because of the god they have. What's your problem? How big is your God? Well, hello, Tokyo. I'm telling you, God's a great God. And the bigger God your God is, the more holy you become. The Bible said, he said, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And if you had a holy God, then you'll live holy, talk holy, amen, walk holy. Amen. You know why you live like you do? Your little God's about that high. He can't help you in a time of trouble. But if you got a great God, he can help you when trouble comes. I want to talk to you a little while on the greatness of God. The greatness of God. And I'm not going to run up and down the aisle anymore because I need to stay close to my notes. You say, do you use notes? Why, you hypocrite, do you use a hymn book?
Amen.
You quit using your hymn book, and I'll quit using notes, praise God. But I'm glad God gives us a little touch here and there. But anyway, I got to quit all this mess and talk about the greatness of God. And I'm going to ask some questions and then try to answer their questions out of the Word of God. First of all, what is God like? God is not like anything or anybody. If he was, he would not be God. Amen. You know, writers have tried to attempt to describe God all the way through the Bible. Ezekiel said that he's a wheel within a wheel. Job said he hung the earth on nothing. Isaiah said he measured the oceans in the palm of his hand. The Bible said in Nahum, the clouds are the dust of his feet. That's the ones that I claim when I'm flying. The clouds are the dust of his feet. I look at that 7 clouds. I said, Lord, you sure are running around here pretty good. Why do? Would you be sure to make this plane land right? The clouds are the dust of his feet. Exodus said he opened up the Red Sea. I mean, here come Pharaoh after the children of Israel. And the devil said, what are you going to do now, God? He said, And the Bible said, with a blast of his nostrils, he opened up the Red Sea. I want to tell you something. Our God's a big God. He's not a painting on the wall. He's not a statue out in somebody's front yard. He's a holy God. He's a great God. In fact, the only thing that we know about God is what he has disclosed about himself. Did you know you cannot know what God is like unless the unknowable could be attained and invisible be seen and in the inaccessible be attained? The truth that God has disclosed himself in his Son. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Is that right? And Jesus said, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. How do you describe God? It'd be hard to kind of describe God because it'd be like drawing a rainbow with a lead pencil. You know, an artist could go out here and take a lead pencil and he could draw the picture of a rainbow and it would be great. You know what he would say? Well, if you think this is great, let's go back to my studio and let me paint these things with the colors of the rainbow and it'd be so much greater. Do you know what? The Word of God was used by men that God used like a pencil. And the Word of God is so great. You know what God's saying tonight? Let's go back to my studio in heaven. And then we'll see how great the Word of God is. God is a great God. Amen and amen. What is God like? Number two, where did God come from? God has no origin. God has no origin. If he did, it would necessitate for him to have a creator. Now let me just say something. And then that'd bring in a real flood of questions. Who birthed God? Who nursed God? Who put a diaper on God? We believe that everything was made by somebody who was made by no one. Everything's made is made by God. He's a great God. And God does not have to account for his being. God don't say, I'm going to show you that I'm God. He does have to account for his being. But he will not be dismissed with a name. I want to tell you something. He will not appear before the bar of reason. And he will not submit to the curious inquirers of this wicked world. God does not have to tell you and account for his being. I believe in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. I believe it a lot easier than I believe this theory of evolution. You know, that it started like, you know, way back yonder, nobody knows why, where, when. Out of nothing came something. Out of nothing came something, and he fell into a mud hole. And while he was rigging around that mud hole, he formed a wart on his belly that became a leg. With that leg, he jumped out of the mud and climbed a tree where he formed a tail. And one day, while swinging by the tail broke, he landed on his two feet, went across the road and started teaching at a university and said, thank God I've arrived. I don't believe that bunch of evolution foolishness. But you know what I believe? In the beginning, God created man out of the dust of the earth. My girls were up cleaning the house one day, and I heard one of them holler, Daddy, get here! I said, why? He said, you said God created man out of the dust of the earth. And I said, is somebody under our bed either going or coming, one or the other? Dust. Dust of the earth. But you know, God is a great God. You say, where? God is everywhere while he's nowhere. For where has to do with matter and space. And God is independent of both matter and space. A lot of times you go to church, and I love testimony meetings, and I've heard people say, boy, you ought to have been down there at church the other day. You ought to have been in our revival. I say, why? Said God showed up. And I like that statement. But if God showed up, I want to ask you something. Did he take up any space? And when God showed up, did anybody move over to let him sit down? And then when God left, did they leave an empty space on the pew? No, God can come and go and bless us and not even reveal himself while he's here. But we know it's God. Amen? I'm glad God is like a breeze that blows through. He said it's like the wind. And you can't see the wind, and all you can do is feel the wind. You see where it came from. You can see where it's going. But you don't know how to catch it. You don't know how to put it in a bag. Amen? God is everywhere while he's nowhere. You say, well, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the greatness of God. I don't feel like preaching tonight. I feel like shouting. I just feel like somebody open that back door. I'm going to run all the way to the motel. I'm telling you, we got a great God. What does God need? Whatever God is and all that God is, he is in himself. God contains all, who gives all that is given, but who himself receives nothing that is not given because God needs nothing. God does not need anything. Somebody said he made man because he needed him. No, I got a message on what was God doing in eternity past. I know what he was doing. Jesus was sitting on his, Jesus at his feet, and they was having a time in eternity past. He didn't need us. He just wanted to prove to that bunch of devils that he was God. Amen. Amen, he was God, right? God cannot be elevated because nothing is beyond or above God. God cannot be supported. He upholds all things by the word of his power. How can he be raised up or supported by things he upholds? God needs no help. God needs no defenders. He's the eternal, undefended. A God that has to be defended is one that can only help us while somebody's helping him. I want to tell you something. God can't be ambushed. He sees everything. God cannot be killed. He cannot die. If you throw him in the water, he'll walk on it. If you put him in the fire, he'll refuse to burn. If you cast him in the storm, he'll say, peace be still. And that raging stallion will lie down his feet like a little puppy. If you bury him, 3 days later, he'll rise again. If you ignore him, sometimes in the night, you'll hear a small, still voice saying to me, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I'm just saying that God does not need anybody. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He can't be outsmarted. He can read your thoughts before you think them. He cannot be outmaneuvered. Where are you going to go that he's not already there? God cannot. Have you ever noticed that when you try to help God, that he won't accept your help? And then when you can't help him, he always shows up. It's amazing. Sometimes I wish God would just write me letters. I'll be there Sunday morning. But you don't never know when God shows up. You know why he's a great God? I'm talking about how great God is. I'm preaching about the greatness of God. What age is God? How old is God? I say, God is an eternal God. The word eternal means from vanishing point to vanishing point. He's the eternal God. And the endlessness of God is one of the most important doctrines that a Christian can learn. God dwells in eternity, but time dwells in God. You can take a blank sheet of paper and put a line on it, and there's white on one end, white on this end, and white on both sides. God was before time and after time and in time at the same time. Amen? And I want to add one more thing. He's always on time. Amen. I'm telling you, how old is God? Can I just say something? Time begins in God and it ended in Him. God was before time and after time and in time at the same time. It's hard to grasp what this verse says in Isaiah, that God appears simultaneously at the beginning and the end. But it is so. If you notice in verse 10, declaring the end from the beginning. I can't do that. But God can. God was before Genesis 1:1. And God is after Revelation 22. But it's in all 66 books of the Bible. He's before time and after time and end time. The same time. Don't you worry about God. He's a great God. Amen. For God, everything that will happen has already happened. And everything that has happened and is happening. He's a great God. What can God do? God is a limitless God. He has no limit. Whatever God is and all that God is, He is without limit. Nothing He cannot do. All that God is, He is without growth, addition, or development. You can try to put a tape on God, but you can't measure Him. You can put Him under a microscope, but you can't figure Him out. I won't tell you, you can predict what God will do, but God does not have to repeat Himself. A lot of times I see these song leaders, and I had one, and you know, boy, they'd get to singing a certain song in the choir on Sunday morning. They'd get out of the banks, and then he'd come back Sunday night singing that same song. It's only going to work it up again. God don't work like that. God does not have to repeat Himself. So good that when He does something, it's forever and ever and ever. All that God is, He's without growth or addition or development. Nothing in God is less or more, large or small. God has no limitations. No limitation. God never hurries. Sometimes I've tried to hurry God. God never hurries. There are no deadlines for Him to meet. He is so omnipresent that He can go nowhere. He can go nowhere without bumping into Himself. Amen. Why get in a hurry when you're already there before you get there? He's God. I'm talking about He's a great God. Right, the Bible tells us that God is light. You know what Albert Einstein said? He said if a man could travel the speed of light, the faster a man travels, the bigger he becomes. And he said if a man could travel the speed of light, he would fill the whole universe. The faster you travel, the bigger you get. Looking over this congregation, some of y'all been moving on lately. Woo! I'm not going to say too much about fat because I got to lose weight too. But anyway, but I'm telling you, good cooks, what can change God? I'm talking about the greatest God. God never differs. God cannot change for the better. He can never be more holy. And God can never be any less holy. God is holy and true. That describes His character and His conduct. His conduct will be who He is. Because God is holy, His conduct is He'll never change. He will always do right because God is right. It said, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Yes, He will. God always does right. All that God is, He has always been. And all that He has been, He will ever be. God's a holy God. God will never rescind or modify what He says. When God said in the book, it's settled forever. Forever thy word is settled in heaven. Amen and amen and amen and amen. Only thoughts God can think are eternal. The only actions that God can act upon are eternal. The only words that God can have are eternal. Why? He's an eternal God. That's why His word is eternal. That's why His church is eternal. That's why His creation is eternal. That's why His salvation is eternal. You know why? Because He's eternal. And the only way He can do it is give you eternal salvation. You said, I lost. No, you didn't have it to start with. If God saved you, you're saved forever and ever and ever because He is an eternal God. Amen. He's unchangeable. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Amen. What can change God? Nothing can change God. What has God learned? God possesses perfect knowledge. God has never learned anything, and God cannot learn. Who can teach God anything that he does not know? Plus, the teacher must know more than the student. God cannot learn. God knows instantly all manners and all matters. He knows all mind and every mind. He knows everything. Woo! Somebody said, well, if you just knew what I was. Listen, God knew what you was before you got saved. He knows what you are right now. He knows what you're going to do 20 years down the road. But you know what? Because of that knowledge, he saved you anyhow. You sorry, low down rascal. You're not saved by your good works, past, present, or future. You're saved by the eternal God that has never learned anything else. Because God knows all things perfect. He knows no thing better than he knows everything. All things are equally learned of God. He never discovers anything. He's never surprised. He's never amazed. He never wonders at anything. Old Dr. Seidler, bless his memory. He said, has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? God's not surprised. Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'll tell you what, you don't have to worry about what you're going to do. God knew what was coming your way. And God saw it way back yonder. He sees it right now, and he sees it way in the future. I'm before there ever a problem, God already had the solution. Hey, you know, before God ever made a monkey, he made a banana tree. Before God ever made a cow, he made a pasture of grass. I want to tell you something. God knows the solution before the problem ever arises. And whatever you're going through tonight, there may be somebody here tonight that's so heavy loaded. God knew before the problem comes. God is with you right now. God has already got the solution. Just stay with God. I almost shouted right there. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. God knows us complete. You say, why is that so good? Because no talebearer can ever inform on us. No enemy can make an accusation stick. No forgotten skeleton can come tumbling out of the closet to expose our past. Oh, I want to tell you something. He knows us utterly before we knew him. And he calls us to himself in the full knowledge of everything that was against us. God knew what we were before we got saved. God knows how you failed since you got saved. And I don't know what's coming down the road, but God's already got that taken care of. He has a solution before the problem ever arises. Praise God and the Lamb forever. Amen. God knows our frame. He knows that we're dust. He knows that we are dust. He knows our inborn treachery. And for his own sake, engaged to save us anyhow. I'm surprised that God saved me before I got saved. But I'm surprised that he even saves me since I got saved. And I'm glad if I should fall and fail somewhere down the road, he's already got that taken care of. God knew what we were, and he loves us with an everlasting love. You know what everlasting means? Mean from vanishing point to vanishing point. And the devil jumped up and said, God doesn't love you. You know what I tell the devil? When has God not loved me? Now, I'm not a hyper-Calvinist, but he loved me before I got saved. He knew what I'd do when I had the gospel presented to us. He knew I get saved, and he knew every failure, every fault. But he said, I'm going to take all of that and put it in the bucket and save him anyhow. Aren't you glad that God loves you when you're bad? And God loves you when you're good? God loves you when you're down? God loves you when you're up? God loves you when you're in? God loves you when you're out? God loves you, amen, with an everlasting love, amen. I'm talking about a great God tonight. A great God. Have you ever thought about this? Where can God go? God is everywhere here. Close to everything, next to everyone. God is over all things, and yet he's under all things. He's outside, but he's within. Not enclosed. Not enclosed. Without, but not excluded. He is above, but not raised up. He's wholly above, presiding, wholly beneath, sustaining, wholly within, filling. Amen? God can go anywhere he wants to go. Lord, I want you to come on down here to welcome back. Wouldn't it be something God just move in tonight? Said the doors open up and all of a sudden we feel the mighty presence of God. You said, well, the devil, listen, the devil can't stop going. God, stop going for anywhere he wants to go. He's a great God. Amen. He can go anywhere he wants to go. The knowledge that God is present is blessed. But to feel his presence is nothing more than sheer happiness. I know God is always present. I know he is. But there's a difference between the glory of God and the presence of God. Glory means a heavy, weighty, condensed presence of God. That's what glory is. It's the condensed presence of God. We used to have a weatherman called Cloudy McFine. And Cloudy get on the news at night. Says 10% outside. 10% humidity. Run outside, you couldn't see it. Maybe he said it's 50% humidity. You run outside, you couldn't see it. But if he said it was 100%, you know what you could do? You could run out there and you could feel it. You could splash in it. You could drink it. Amen? And just have a happy time. I'm glad God is always here, but sometimes he's here. You know what? I like to get on the spout where the glory comes out. Amen. Now, I ain't got unto it, but I'm telling you what's the truth. I was preaching, Brother Percy Ray, down at Camp Zion years and years ago. And I was preaching on David's mighty men. And I got to preaching that message, and they got to shouting, and they took it away from me. And men were jumping on the backs of men, and they were running all over that big auditorium, and they were shouting, cutting cartwheels, and I mean, just glory, glory. And I looked at Dr. Ray. I said, Dr. Ray, what do you want me to do? He said, you started it. I didn't start that. God started. Amen. But I'm glad God can so fill you that you don't care who's here. You don't care what anybody says about you because he's God. Beside him, there is nothing else. God's always here. But sometimes he's here. Who does God love? The disposition of God is to be kind, cordial, benevolent, and goodwill. Prayer counts on the goodness of God. When we pray, we believe that there's a God who loves us and desires to help us. We don't go to some old dictator, try to twist his arm, try to bite. Oh, we're his child. And when a child comes up to a parent and said, Daddy, I'm hungry, that daddy will go to all lengths to give that child a biscuit or a piece of cornbread or something. And when we come to God, we come to him to a God that loves us. The repentant sinner depends upon the goodness of God. When that sinner comes to God, he's not looking for a God of judgment, but he's looking for a God of mercy. He's looking for a God of love. And the goodness of God encourages us not to be afraid of him. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. I was preaching up in Virginia several years ago, and my family, we traveled on a little 57 Greyhound bus, and we just depended on love offerings. And I was preaching every week and preaching every Sunday just to make ends meet. Sometimes they wouldn't meet. They just waved at each other. But, man, we was needing some money. And I went to one church, and they didn't give us enough to pay our expenses. The second church didn't give us enough to pay our expenses. And I said, well, and you know how we was all, you go to three churches and then the fourth church would make it up. The third church didn't give us enough to make expense. And I got in that bus, headed down Interstate 77 going home. And I thought to myself, I am not going to preach anymore. I'm tired of these churches starving us out. I said, Lord, I run all over the country, preach about every night, preach every weekend. I'd preach like 90-something churches a year. You know, 52 weeks of revival. Then on the Sundays, run up to about 90-something churches I was in. And I said, Lord, they don't care about me. Boy, riding down the road in the middle of the night, he said, but I love you. And in the middle of the night, this old fat preacher got to singing, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. My wife came up and said, what's the matter? I said, sing along. And pretty soon all the kids were at the front. I was all singing, Jesus loves me this summer. And you know what? We got home. We had two friends that rode up and called us, and they gave us enough to make up that fourth Sunday. I'm saying, Jesus loves us. Jesus loves us. He loves us. No, I read this, I believe, in the Reader's Digest. That's not the Bible. I read this in the Leader. And I ate this, put it in there, and here's what he said. There is no God. All the wonders, and somebody answered, they ate this, and he said, there is no God. And somebody replied and said, there's no God. All of the wonders around us are accidental. No, a mighty hand made 1,000,000,000,000 stars. They then made themselves. No power keeps them on their steady course. I'll tell you something. You ever get paranoid? I'm going to get you real paranoid right now. We're on a mud ball, 25 miles around, going through space. And Job said he hung the world on earth on nothing. Ain't nothing holding us here. But God. That's all it is. Now you go to bed tonight, boy, an asteroid coming through the sky, it's not going to be like that. That's not the way the world's going to end up. The world's going to end up with fire, and God's going to give us a new heavens and a new earth. The earth itself spins itself to keep the earth oceans from falling off towards the sun. The infants teach themselves to cry when their hunger hurts. There's no God. The earth gave itself day and night. The earth tilled itself. So we can get seasons. Without the magnetic poles, man would be unable to navigate the trackless oceans of water and air, but they just grew there. How about the sugar thermostat in the pancreas? It maintains a level of sugar in the blood sufficient for energy. Without it, all of us would get into a coma and die. Who told that pancreas to put that out? Who told the liver to take out the poisons? Why does the snow sit on the mountaintops waiting for the warm sun springs to melt so we can get just at the right time to get the waters down to the young crops in the farms below to drink? It just happened by accident. The heart will beat for 78 years without faltering. How does it get sufficient rest between the beats? A kidney will filter poison from the blood and leave the good things alone. How does it know the good from the bad? Who gave the human tongue flexibility to form words and a brain to understand them, denied it to every other animal? Who showed a womb of a woman to take the love of two persons and keep spitting them a small, tiny ovum unit in time that a baby would have the proper number of fingers, eyes, and ears and hair in the right places and come into the world when it's strong enough to sustain life? And there's no God. Oh, yes, there's a God. Oh, yes, there's a God. The songwriter wrote it like this. Does Jesus care? My heart is pain too deeply for mirth or song. As the burdens press and the cares distress, and the way grows weary and long. Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. I want to tell you something. God is a great God. But I want to tell you something even greater than that. He's a good God. And I don't know what you're here tonight carrying, but God is wants you to know. This little message, God just wants you to know that God is so great that there's nothing greater than God. My dad died when he was 69 years old. He lost a leg, his own dialysis. But on the front of his car, there was a sign. There's no problem that my God cannot solve. And I'm telling you, that's how great he is tonight. Don't give up on God. He's never given up on you. If you hear him say, let's stand. We're going to sing that song about the care who cares for me. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. That's what I want you to do tonight. Every head's bowed and every eye's closed. I'm not going to ask you who you are or what problem or what person you're praying for or what kind of place you're living in or what kind of position you're in. When I tell you something, I tell you, he'll pick you up, draw you close to him, let you know that. Now here's about how I say, I want to say, go on, I have a problem, how that simple. I can do it. I've got something for him. I got somebody's loss. I got some marriage problems. I've got a flower that's not where it ought to be. And it seems like I don't know what to do sometimes. I feel like getting in. I want to tell you what, God. Father, I pray that you take him there. And I know I delivered it to you. And I pray I wanted you to try my best to thrive my strength. Now, Lord, if we sing this invitation, I believe it's feeding back there tonight with our pardon. And I'm glad that you have seen a hurting heart because you're there. You feel like the husband or the wife or the mom or dad or the boy or girl or cleaner doesn't care. But when you've exhausted everybody else, that God in heaven is just for you. It's God. Everybody knows the word. What page of the church? 289. Now listen. Don't be so proud and obstinate. But you say, I can take care of this thing. You know what God likes to do? God wants you to be healthy. He wants you to put your hope into God's character. I will say to that lady tonight, if everybody's given up on this, God cares. I talked to a preacher on the way down here, his wife. He's about to lose it. He's about to lose. He's about to go down. And I could feel the hurt in his voice. Now I won't tell that preacher, don't testify that there's a God cares when you've got cancer. That's God cares. And it seems like you don't have enough money. It's a bit. There's a God cares when you don't feel like you come to church. I'll take the God cares. All right. You're going to lead us tonight or something? All right. Come on. Let's all sing it. And I tell you what you ought to do. You ought to slip out of that pew and come down here and say, Lord, I know you care. I know that you care. And I come to a God that cares about me. All right. So now, time to eat more noodles. Listen now. Oh, I can't get some time to we're going to sing all of the song now, and I hope that you'll take advantage of this time that God's given you. Does Jesus care when my way is dark with a nameless dread and fear as the daylight fades into deep night shades? Does he care enough to be near? Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long night dreary, I know my Savior. Does Jesus care when I've tried and failed to resist some temptation strong? When for my deep grief I find no relief, though my tears flow all the night long? Oh, yes, he cares. Oh, he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long night's dreary, I know.
I remember Brother Jerry. I'm gonna quote Brother Jerry. He wouldn't mind this. Brother Jerry Riggs, he'll be here Wednesday night, Wednesday sometime through the rest of the week. But he said from this pulpit, or he might have said to me, I don't know. I ride around with preachers and we talk. I don't know if he said it preaching here or just me and him talking. And it's nothing like anonymous or whatever, nothing that I'm supposed to keep. But he just said there's been times in his life, and I can relate. I mean, it's so relatable that he said, when it talks about much faith, little faith, weak faith, he said there's been times when it's just faith has just got real weak, and he just tried to hang on to that little bit of hope. And, that's we just hang on. And I don't know we're not trying to manipulate anybody. We're not trying to psych anybody out, or we're just being real. I don't know who raised their hand. I don't know if anybody raised their hands. And I'll be honest with you. I think, whether you raise your hand or not, you got needs. We all got needs. And, maybe different, yet comparable. But it sure does help when you fall down with God and you just come before His presence. And in a meeting like this, it helps. And maybe you need to do that. Maybe you can do whatever you need to do back there. I was so overwhelmed one night here, out in the parking lot there where I park under that roof, and I just laid across the hood of my car until I got some help.
Amen.
I was so overwhelmed. One time, my preacher friend, my neighbor for 35 years, Jimmy Dan Clinton, his heart's barely beating right now. It's just barely pumping. And so one day, I was coming by there. I was in need. And I just pulled in, and he was out in the yard, and we did the hood thing again. We just laid across the hood praying, and he prayed for me. And I'm going to tell you what, if you don't believe that helps, friends, that'll get you through. And you're with the people tonight. God cares.
Amen.
But as far as people are concerned, this group of people here that's in this church, not my church members, but everybody, these are people that care the most for you. The psychiatrist don't really care for you. He cares for your billfold. But I'm going to tell you what, you can avoid a lot of trouble by just realizing God cares and just casting all your care on Him, for He cares for you. Amen.
Amen.
My yoke is easy, my burden's light. Amen. Amen. Come unto me, all you that labor, let's and are heavy laden. Let's sing this other verse and give you that opportunity to pray there where you are, pray here, whatever, and get some relief. Amen. And we'll just go on through this week for the glory of God, okay? Does Jesus care when I said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me and my sad heartache till it nearly breaks? Is it all to Him done tasty? Oh, yes. He cares, I know He cares. He's touched with my grief. Oh, when the days are weary, the night's dreary, I know my Savior. Father, we thank You for allowing us to be here in Your presence and with Your Word and with the Holy Spirit of God and these great preachers and the singing, all that took place, the fellowship. I just pray You'll bless the rest of the week. We commit it to You, and You'll get the glory and honor of everything that's done. Thank You that Brother Simpson made it in, and I pray You'll bless him, his brother, and the rest as we go about this meeting in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, tomorrow we start right on 2:30 sharp, and on through the rest of the week. And then somebody will hear from the...